That's the first thing I would do. And then I would put them in an environment with these kids where whatever the vehicle was, the teacher saw that that was merely a vehicle for us to become conscious together, rather than getting the teacher caught in any other achievement model that I got to get a payoff from these kids in terms of their external performance. That means I'm willing to maintain a certain tension level of lack of performance in these kids for quite a while. I'll play for the long shot that they will open to the universe which is within them in a way that will allow them to tune in on this stuff much faster than if they learn it in a linear input fashion in the way that I've been programming it in traditionally. So that I begin to see that the educator educates himself, and then he hangs out with the child, and then the child gets free of the things that are keeping him from educating himself, because in effect we only do it to ourselves. That's the model I understand it now. We don't do it to each other. We only do it to ourselves. And all you can do is provide an environment where the kid can do it to himself. And I guess I would be inclined to realize that a classroom is as high as the highest being in the room. And sometimes that's the teacher and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's the kid. It is not true that kids are little Buddhas. Everybody's a Buddha. But a kid is deepest into the illusion in the way, because he had to be born into the illusion or he wouldn't have been born this birth. And here he is now, and he's in the illusion. Now the question is, how long is he going to stay in it? And he's going to stay in it as long as he's got to stay in it, but also as long as people around him are sucking him into it. And the people are sucking into it to the extent that they're stuck in it. So all you can do for a child is really not be stuck in the illusion yourself. And then that frees the child, and the minute he's free, he'll pick up everything he needs. If I need to repair a car, I damn well figure out how to repair cars. And there's nothing that makes me learn how to repair a car faster than when my car is broken, I'll tell you. And I could study theories of carburation till hell freezes over and it would pass through me like Chinese food. But I'll tell you, when I need to fix the carburetor, I read that manual and boy, it really has relevance because I want to know how to fix the carburetor. And there is something about functional knowledge. When the kid has an itch, then he scratches it, and until then, it's only fun and games in our head. And the whole history of knowledge is as a drop in the bucket connected with wisdom. And we're trying to preserve something, and what we're doing is preserving it at the cost of something much, much higher that is what we really want, which is we would like to train for wisdom, not knowledge. And what we're training for is knowledge because we can measure it. But knowledge is not convertible necessarily into human happiness or well-being. Wisdom is, because wisdom is learning how to live with the Tao, live in harmony with the world at the moment it is. That's a totally adaptive thing, is wisdom, not knowledge. Knowledge is not necessarily adaptive. If you're a physicist, and it's like the Admirable Crichton, when you get to the desert island, it may not work. But if you're a wise being, whatever is, and you deal with what is. You teach a child methods of how to be conscious, how to use the tool of his mind as exquisite analytic device. You teach methods of absorbing knowledge. You don't teach knowledge per se. That's one of the major things. And I think we're moving toward that in elementary education anyway. And I think we start to respect each human being's method of evolving, and we allow for a much wider, even than we're doing now, degrees of freedom in terms of each person's journey, but present him with models of consciousness, not models of external achievement so much.
I just want to clarify one thing, that you started out in junior high school and you worked down to elementary. Does that mean that you would like to start in the elementary and we should free?
Yeah, I think I would start. I think that I used to work for an outfit called SMSG, the School Mathematics Study Group, which puts experimental mathematics education in public schools. I was their tame psychologist, and I would do computer programs and run their data through and designed all their assessment projects to find out whether it did any good. And I found out this very far out thing, that most of the women generalist education teachers in the elementary school were like the typhoid carriers of the attitudes towards mathematics, because they themselves couldn't count, you know, and they got all uptight about it, and they felt they had to teach it. So they would teach it, but they would say, all right, you've had a good time out at recess, now you can sit down and do your arithmetic, because their attitudes towards it were so negative that they inculcated these attitudes. And I begin to see that just as a parent is the conveyor of the universe, so each of these teachers are, and the earlier you can help a person out of the illusion, the better off you are, because once a kid is out of the illusion, once he's got his own center, then you can give him the worst schlock teachers in the world, and he'll help them, because once he's got his center, he's free. See? So the earlier you can do it, the better you help the education system. University's major hope is that so many high beings are coming in as freshmen. And they may help the system save itself at this point from total extinction, in a way, because it's because they're bringing more and more of this stuff to the college campus. And I sound horribly radical and all that, but I'm not really throwing out the baby with the bath, because I see that all of what man has developed in his knowledge and his technology and his humanities and his art forms and so on is living in the present. It's all here right now. And that there is no chance that it's going to fall away if it has a meaningful human function at this moment. If we are only carrying it on out of guilt or out of some his story, forget it. But if it has a function, we'll find it. And we, in a sense, have to redo the run over again. We have to live out, just like ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. So each person's journey into consciousness recapitulates all of man's journey into consciousness, and he has to refine the need to absorb music and art and history and literature. And you can't lay it on him because you know it's important. He's got to be ready to hear it. And so that readiness is such a critical issue. And that's why these early experiments with preschool and nursery and elementary school are very open environments, allowing a child to listen, learn to listen. And that's why these meditative exercises are designed specifically to allow him to hear rather than to get so caught in ego. And I think competition and ego enhancement is one of the things that's got to go a lot of. It's really got to go. The whole ego competitive models we're using in evaluation and in achievement. We have a model that if we don't give an achievement incentive, the whole system will fall down. I was a worker in the field of achievement motivation, and the game was how to get people to want to achieve more.